This is Lori Prox. I've got Nick Farline of Parks and Recreation Department with us, and everyone's familiar with Nick, brought Banff to Valdez, lots of great stuff Park and Rec is working on, but one of those big projects right now is the Meals Hill project, and haven't just starting to hear a lot about that, but part of that is because we want some public input. So there is a survey about Meals Hill, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then I'm going to have you introduce your guest that you brought in today to talk about what the plans are and how this project is going to move forward. But everyone knows where Meals Hill is, but we need a little bit of a history. If you want to follow along, there's mealshillmasterplan.com is a website. You can go check that out. But Nick, thanks for joining us. And before we get rolling into what the ideas are for Meals Hill, give us just a brief history of how the city became in charge of this property and potentially turning it into something recreational, something public lands for use by citizens of Valdez.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Lori. I really appreciate you having us in, and we're really excited about this. I mean, obviously, everybody knows where Meals Hill's at. You know, Ferry Hill, it used to be called, and we've got here because, and I'll say that there's a really cool write-up in history there on that mealshillmasterplan.com, but the Reader's Digest of that is the city acquired Meals Hill October of last year, and at that time, it became a park, and so people have been able to access Meals Hill, and currently as it is right now, we groomed it over the winter. And
the middle school had a cross-country meet there last weekend, which was awesome weather. Great spot. Yeah,
absolutely. No, it's just an absolutely gorgeous place. But now what we're doing is we're really trying to define the purpose in creating this long-term plan and vision of Meals Hill. So we went ahead and the city developed an RFQ for a Meals Hill master plan. And we had several different consultants that applied to develop this Meals Hill master plan, and today we've got Holly Spotroys, who is here from Huddle AK, and they were our successful applicant, and we are more than excited to have Huddle on board to develop this master plan. And as you'd mentioned, we'll dive a little bit more in the details, but really what we're looking for is we're getting community input. Really, what is the purpose, the vision, and what does that look like up there on Meals Hill? So we're here today to talk with you all about this survey that's coming out to get that feedback and
the survey's already open. People have taken it. I took it. So, but encourage people to go to the city's website. You can also, if you don't have access to internet, you can go up to the Civic Center. You can check out that survey. But we wanted to provide a little more, because it's a pretty open slate. Like, what do you want to happen with a hill, right? Like, that's pretty broad. But there are some guidelines that come with how the city of Valdez acquired that property, because it's actually a trust. It was given to the city of Valdez. So that's, everyone likes a gift, right? So, but it does, there are some, it came through a trust of land, and there are some purposes for the donation, for the gift, and then also for the purposes of the land. Mm-hmm. So Holly, thanks for coming in, and maybe you can cover that for folks so they understand what some of the options and what some of the guidelines are for that land.
Yep. So I guess first, before I dive into what, there's a conservation easement on this 184-acre property. And before I dive into what that means, I guess I'll just say that, and I've been saying this all week that I've been here, is that Valdez is extremely lucky to have just acquired 184 acres of undeveloped parkland in the middle of your city. It's rare for any community, whether it's...
And we don't have a lot of land in our city.
No,
so it's,
you have a very limited amount of land. So this is, like, very rare. And it's rare. And so the way the Great Land Trust... It was a public-private partnership between the city and citizens and the Great Land Trust. And the Great Land Trust manages conservation easements like this all over the state. It's I believe the Great Land Trust has 41 right now, and this is the only one in the first conservation easement in Valdez. And that's pretty exciting. So what the conservation easement does is it automatically puts these sideboards on what can and cannot happen on the property. And the reason the property is protected in the first place is because it's kind of restoration as a result of the Exxon Valdez oil spill. Because, I mean, we've been talking about this for years and years and years, but the community experienced significant injury to habitat, wildlife, economy, tourism, outdoor recreation, public health, subsistence. And so the reason this land was protected and funded through this conservation easement process is because the parcel is providing restoration to the community of Valdez for tourism, for economic development, for outdoor recreation.
But the money came from oil spill.
It was from the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trustee Council, yes.
And so it's put into this land trust.
Yeah. So, and the coolest thing about this for Valdez right now is that not only did the funds fund the acquisition of the property, but it's the first time that the Great Land Trust was able to acquire funds to fund the initial enhancement. So the city of Valdez isn't, you know, just sitting here with 184 acres and not a lot of resources to protect it or provide trails or gates or whatever we decide happens. But yeah, you have initial resources to be able to provide initial enhancements, and that's pretty cool.
Okay, and I want to go off the rails a bit because I have a hard time wrapping my head around 184 acres, right? So this is right behind the ferry terminal. Nick, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you, you know, I'm like one of those people, like I need to turn left at McDonald's or, you know, here, Halibut House or whatever. So can you give us a general idea of where that land starts and ends? And a lot of people have you know, hiked in many of these areas or, you know, how far up the hill? Yeah.
Sure. So you can access the road access the property off of Hazlett. So right across from Ruth Pond, that's the initial entry point into Meals Hill. The property runs all the way behind Petrostar. It includes kind of the northwest corner of Meals Hill is really close to where the water tower's at. And then it goes at a southwesterly direction all the way to the coastline. There is a set of property that's owned by the University of Alaska that's in between the residential area of Blueberry Hill and Meals Hill. So there is a section of about 84 acres there that's owned by University of Alaska that's really on the direct west side of Meals Hill. And then, you know, of course, on that east side, it ends there on Hazlett and goes right behind, as you said, the ferry terminal. And then it goes right along the coastline.
And Meals Hill masterplan.com, there's a map. There's probably one on the postcard you're sending out. We had it in the email newspaper. So if you need a visual, but we're on radio, so I'll put you on the spot and have you do that. And that land has already been used. As I mentioned, Cross Country ran a race. So we know that's a good, I think, Headlamp Hustle last year was up that hill. And I know the whole idea of the survey is to kind of get some ideas for what can happen with that land. But based on the conservation and other projects that you've done, Holly, maybe it would be appropriate to have you discuss some of the other projects or some of the potential, you know, given the idea that nothing's decided yet, but what are some of the potential ideas that could fit within this conservation parameters?
So the purpose of this conservation easement is for habitat, resources, outdoor recreation, and this thing called passive recreation. And what passive recreation means is this is outdoor recreation that you do without a lot of developed facilities. So it's things like hiking on a trail, viewing scenery, walking in the woods, biking, snowshoeing, skiing, things like that. So things like hockey and soccer and more developed sports, anything that includes a building probably. Those are the things that are not allowed. Another thing not allowed in the conservation easement is motorized use. So this parcel of land will be limited to non-motorized recreation. So really what we're looking at is trail-based outdoor recreation and the facilities that support that. So the conservation easement does allow supportive facilities for these types of developments. So if we need if we need a restroom, if we need signs, so people like regulatory or wayfinding signs, so people know what they can and can't do. if there needs to be like a shelter from the weather, like maybe an outdoor type covering, that sort of thing. But the reason we still need community input is that this parcel is a major part of your parks and recreation infrastructure. And so we need to know how this fits within everything that you already have. And so we want to know, do you want to hike? How much? How many people do you want to see? What do you want to do there? Are there groups of people up there? So we want to like dive into the details of what that really means. What kind of trails?
And then you do have to look at, so it's a good that you pointed out, like buildings are not a thing because they require a lot of maintenance because even though the initial...
And utilities.
Yeah, you're including a lot of stuff in the initial build, but the city will have to maintain that for time to come. No, so that is a good question. Are there facilities? I mean, is there electric? Is that a possibility? That's not a consideration.
So I don't know yet. I would not imagine any sort of infrastructure that needs water or like anything under the ground. I think that would be cost prohibitive and maybe not feasible. There is a private parcel, like a private inholder. There's a bed and breakfast on the hill. I don't really know what their infrastructure looks like, but I know they have electricity. So I think one thing is we'll have to talk about lights. If people envision lights on the hill, we haven't heard that anybody does, but I think that in this climate where we need to talk about long-term maintenance and sustainability of a facility that is the responsibility of Valdez Parks and Recreation, that we need to limit the amount of long-term investment in maintenance, so things that are lower maintenance.
And you're a consultant from Alaska.
I am.
So you're aware it snows because we've had some consultants, you know, where trying to wrap your head around 330 inches of snow in a year is a challenge, right? So,
yeah.
So that's a great portion of the show right there. But what are some of the things you've done? I'm excited to hear.
So a big part of my career so far is I spent about 10 years working for the Parks and Recreation Department in Anchorage. Mm-hmm. So I'm familiar with what an annual O&M budget is for a city. And how it limits your ability to do things, right? And what you can do. I have worked on the Campbell Creek Estuary Natural Area. It's another great land trust conservation easement in Anchorage. It's more embedded within a neighborhood in Anchorage, so it's not quite as high traffic as this one might be. But it's a major, it's the estuary of Campbell Creek in Anchorage, which is kind of a big deal. I've worked on three other conservation easements with the Great Land Trust in Anchorage. In addition, we were responsible for managing Far North Bicentennial Park and Kincaid Park, which provide a similar type of outdoor recreation and trail-based outdoor recreation experience. But what we're really interested in learning is what Meals Hill means to Valdez, because those parks mean something different for people in Anchorage, but we want to understand what Meals Hill means to the Valdez residents and how it fits in with your parks and recreation system.
Hiking, cross-country skiing, you know, to some folks it might just mean the view. So I mean, there's really a lot. And then one of the other big considerations as well, I think, in looking through this survey or looking ahead is, you know, who's accessing that? Is it locals? Is it, you know, are we wanting to develop a hiking trail system that visitors would want to come to? Those are the type of questions you're looking to get input on. Is that fair?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because of the maybe the majesty of Meals Hill, really. I mean, we know that we've been to the top. I mean, that 360 degree view is just absolutely it's breathtaking, right? And so it is a question that the community needs to help answer, and that is this going to be, is part of this Meals Hill plan, is it going to be a driver of the economy? Is it going to be this destination recreation point for Valdez and visitors coming in and with the close proximity to where the cruise ships lets off? Is that something that we want to be able, as we're addressing that accessibility issue, is how do we address getting people up to potentially that peak experience? Or is there another spot that we can still accomplish them getting that real magic of Meals Hill? And
And Nick, you've done a lot with Parks and Rec. Like, of course, we have our new Frisbee. We were actually talking about, we have this little show called Inspiration Station and we ride the crazy train at the end of the show. So we were going to call Park and Rec and see if we could go play Frisbee one afternoon, right? Mm-hmm. Like it, on Wednesday afternoon. So I don't know. Yeah. Let's throw that out there. If you are down, I've got three people who are on the air and we'll directly go to play Frisbee with our listeners. If you've got somebody, you'll show us how. But you have a trail map of different trails. In your estimation, is that what is Park and Recreation's take on our trails now? We have some amazing trails, and I think people are really just starting to discover them in our town, but also visitor wise, especially this summer, you know, where we had a lot of Alaskans looking for something.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. And we just had our Parks and Rec master plan adopted this summer. And through that process was a GIS mapping and an inventory of all of our trail system. It is really extensive.
We have a lot.
We do. And one of the things that Mills Hill is going to do, and we've heard this, Holly had mentioned this before, but it could be kind of that bedrock of the trail system, especially in our downtown quarter. So we're absolutely looking to have connectivity between Mills Hill, Mineral Creek, coming down into Ruth Pond, the Overlook Trail. And so, you know, the long-term vision and would be amazing is you can access, you know, our trail from the bike path and get onto Mineral Creek and come down Mineral Creek, pop onto Mills Hill, come down.
We've got electric bikes now.
Yeah, and so you have this connectivity of a trail system, which we're not there 100% yet, but we're definitely moving in that direction. I think Mills Hill can be just incredible connecting piece. And it was one of the things that came out of our Parks and Rec master plan. The community had talked about the importance of having that trail connectivity. So again, that's one of the things that we're looking at in this
and
project.
And it's kind of
a
complex, you know, it's not really as simple as do you like tourists or you don't like tourists, because we have 3 months of summer tourists, and then there's a big difference between in-state tourists, out-of-state tourists, cruise ship tourists, international tourists, and then you have, that's only 3 months out of the year. So then you have 9 months, and when you're talking tourism, it's not going to be hundreds and hundreds of people. It's ski trails, and so that therein lies the complexity in the survey and maybe some of the things.
Yeah, and I'll mention that the team that Huddle has put together. So Huddle's the lead consultant, and they have subcontractors, consultants. This team has it's an incredible. And I'll let Holly just touch on that for a moment, but that's one of their challenges is to try and draw that out from the community through the survey, through some of our public meetings, through our Mills Hill Master Planning Committee, through one-on-one interviews.
It's not going to end with the survey. What happens after that?
Yeah, so from now through the end of the year, we're in the phase of the project, what we're calling listen and learn. A ton of listening to everybody in the community, right? And so once we're through the listen and learn phase, which will include a public meeting in November, we'll move into what we're calling the envision stage. And that's where we take everything that we've heard and learned, and we start developing actual ideas and putting them on paper.
And of course, that has to be weighed with Parks and Rec. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because a lot of times I think, hey, I want this, but are the fannies in the seat? You know, are they actually coming and participating? And what groups are using?
Right
now,
our job is to uncover, like, everybody who's taking the survey. People who take the survey might not come to a public meeting. People who come to a public meeting might not take a survey. So it's our job to uncover as many voices as we can, and that's a difficult thing to do. Getting people to participate is difficult sometimes, but we've tried to do our best, and it's everything from someone making a quick phone call to me and just verbalizing. You can find my direct phone number on the website. You can call me.
MealsHillMasterPlan.com.
Yeah, you can do that and not participate in any other manner. You can take the survey. You can join a public meeting. That's our job, to listen and learn, and I feel strongly that everyone has a voice in that. I'll stop there.
All right. Well, that sounds good. So MealsHillMasterPlan.com, but you have a couple other ways for people to fill out the survey. It'll be open for a couple weeks, but get on it, because then the next process will start with the public meeting. So
that people can stop by the Civic Center, pick up a paper version. If there's any other, you can also call me and I can walk you through it on the web. I can do it for you
And of course, anytime you're asking folks to do something, there it's nice to have a reward. And you guys have a bit of a reward if people go fill out the survey.
Absolutely. So we've already given away two $50 gift cards for people that have taken the survey.
Win, I guess. Okay.
We're still in it.
I'm still in it.
That's right. There's eight more $50 gift cards that are going to be given away. So fill it out online. As Holly had mentioned, we'll have some paper copies. You can call Holly and she can help fill it out. But it's super important. And I just wanted to mention that this survey up to yesterday, we had 200 people that have filled out the survey. So that's an incredible response. It's a measurable percentage of the population here. And so the more input that we get, the more people that take it, the more people that are involved in the process, the better it's going to, the end outcome is going to be.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in. Look for the flyer in your mailbox, maleshillmasterplan.com. Check the City of Aldi's website if you want a different link. It's yours. Go.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.